This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9. It's between that period of Christmas and the New Year, so there's no car launches, apparently.
No, none at all.
Anyway, coming up on the show, we do have a car review, and as usual, we've got some news coming up in a few minutes. I'm joined in the studio, as ever, with Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. And of course, a man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse.
Happy New Year, everybody.
What happened there?
Sorry.
Okay.
Too much ho.
Too much ho. Coming up on the show, the car review this week, it's a bit of a fancy one this week, isn't
Very
it?
Very fancy, because while you guys were not doing any work,
you were buying expensive cars.
I went out to test drive a proper car.
A proper car?
Proper car.
Are you saying that the review we did last week was not a proper car?
Well, not as proper as this one.
Not as proper. Yes. All right. Before and without further ado, of course, it is the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse. Breaking news then, slightly, kind of, almost, on Thursday we found out about the toll hikes freeze. What do we know about it?
Yep, so it's going to happen all across Malaysian highways. But a couple months ago, we reported that they were just going to freeze a couple of highways in Sabah and Sarawak. But now it's all of Malaysia. And I don't know if I'm supposed to be happy about this or not. Toll prices are going to stay the same. They're not going to go down.
Have they said how long for?
The whole year, 2019. Oh, so some highways were supposed to go up in prices between 20 to 50 cents, which is quite a lot. So, like, you know, the Duke Highway, we're supposed to be paying about 3 ringgit 30 cents next year, which currently now I think is about 250, right? And then even the Max Putrajaya Highway toll, currently we're paying 350. It's supposed to go up to 490 next year. So, I don't know. I guess it's a good thing, but...
Arif, it's time for rejoicing. It is time for rejoicing, right?
We get what we can,
We'll take what we can. Okay, moving
Coming
on.
Coming from a person who does not drive.
Hey, I have to pay tolls in my taxi.
Why?
I have to pay tolls in my taxi.
Yeah, but it's part of the taxi fare.
That's what I'm... No, it's not. It's not. No, if I book with a Grab and say my fare is 13 ringgit.
Good perspectives there.
You see, you're trying to put me on the spot because I don't drive. Right, speaking about driving, obviously, to move and to drive, you have to have something called petrol.
And diesel.
Or diesel.
Or diesel, yeah.
But they are floating the price of petrol weekly.
Yep, so starting next year, petrol prices are going to go back to what it was maybe 2.5 or 3 years ago.
Probably.
The ministry says prices should be cheaper from January 1 onwards, but due to the low crude oil prices, and if it exceeds 2 ringgit 20 cents, they're going to put a price cap until they figured out that subsidy program that nobody knows how it works. I mean, Malaysia cheers, obviously. In January and February, we're expected to have pretty low crude oil prices. But, you know, there's been some pushback from the Petrol Dealers Association, who they say, I quote, they are at mercy of the government because they don't have control over the price or how much fuel they're going to stock. That's their reasons. I don't know if this is true.
Well, it makes sense, but correct me if I'm wrong, Richard, but in the UK, prices are always floating.
Correct.
Yeah.
And how do individual dealers work it out?
They put their own prices on it.
Yes, for years they've been doing it. So I know, for example, like if you want really cheap petrol in the UK, you go to a supermarket.
That's right.
They sell cheap petrol. But you know, a supermarket is a chain. They got economies of scale and decide. Yeah. But the smaller petrol dealers in the smaller towns and the provinces, and then they also have cheap petrol.
Yeah.
In the city, because of higher rental, you have higher petrol prices.
That's right.
So I think there is a mechanism, but the problem is a lot of these petrol dealers, the individual dealers, have been having a good time. They don't know really how to do the business, calculate, this is how much I use average, this is how much I'm selling average, and work it out. Because I was talking to someone, after I heard this, I was talking to someone in BHP, and he said, you know, we will still keep our stations pumping, we'll still have petrol in our stations. Even if our dealers are not happy, we will make sure there's petrol for the consumers. Now, that's a petroleum company moving forward. But I'm sure Petronas and Shell will also move forward. They wouldn't want signboards sitting outside their brand saying, no petrol, no diesel.
Right.
So I think all this is just a little bit of a scare from the dealer association trying to get a little bit more, you know, gratification.
Well, yeah, I mean, what you said appears to be true, because the Bumiputra Petrol Dealers Association, they came out and said that because of this, our petrol stations might be running dry, to which, you know, the government immediately said, like, that's rubbish.
Allegedly. Yeah.
So let's, I think we leave it at that. We know the motives here. Yeah.
But I mean, you're right. I mean, in the UK, it was a case of if you knew a petrol pump was cheaper somewhere else, you would go there. It's as simple as that, you know, and your friends would tell you where that day's cheap petrol was or that week's cheap petrol was, and you just drive there. Yes. And if and that person is outpricing themselves, whose fault is it? Yes. Nobody else's.
Yep.
And while you're out there, you get some fish and chips and
you
come
get
back.
Some fish and chips and you come back in your little Jaguar, you know. Yes. Anyway, moving on. Gone with the Wind.
Yep.
What's happened to him now?
So it's a little update on Carlos Ghosn, Nissan's savior, now villain. Mm-hmm. If you missed it, initially he was charged for understating his income for about 5 years since 2010. So he got...
Only rich people can do that, you know.
Yeah. So he got put into detention since on November 19th. He's been in there until now.
You make it sound like he's been punished for doing something wrong at school. Oh, he's in detention right
he's
now.
Yeah, I know.
He's writing his lines.
He was charged again quite recently for understating his income for the last 3 years as well. So both of this totaled up to about $70 million. That's about 290 million ringgit.
Wait, so he failed to declare?
He didn't declare that.
291 million ringgit.
Yes.
And then kind of went, oh, you know what? Maybe it slipped my mind.
Yeah. But then he got charged again on Boxing Day for using Nissan's money to pay a man who helped cover his own failed personal investments back in 2008. He paid the guy 63 million ringgit.
What?
Man, I mean, I read the news and I just felt I needed to say something, you know. That's crazy.
So obviously he's sitting on a lot of money.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just waiting for the movie to come out.
Apparently, he's coming out on New Year's Day. So he'll be somewhat of a free man, I think, on New Year's Day.
No more detention. All right, moving on. Story number three, 3D printed parts. This is something BMW have come forward with and said that they've announced they've built over 1 million 3D printed parts.
Yep, other brands have been doing that as well. Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz as well. Mm. And recently there was a video circulating of Bugatti testing out the 3D printed brake calipers, which is quite impressive. Apparently they tested the brakes from 350 kilometers an hour, which nobody will go to, back down to zero, and it passed all the tests with flying colors, which is quite cool. And, you know, the benefits that Bugatti calculated with this brake calipers is that it's 40% lighter, made out of titanium, which is compared to aluminium alloys, which our brakes are usually made of. And I think this is quite interesting because the benefits of 3D printing is that you don't have to build a huge machine with a mold, right? You can just go key in, take pictures of the specific product or part and print it out.
Exactly. I mean, and just to let you know, he's making the hand signs here in the studio. Yes. Yeah.
But the question I ask, how does it help the consumer?
I think for used cars.
Oh, that's an interesting... I wasn't going to look at that.
Because
good idea.
Yeah, because for used cars, you would have to pay hundreds of ringgits, especially for an old car like yours. I know what you drive now, Mazda Miata.
Ah.
I spotted you. But anyway, if you're looking for parts for a Mazda Miata, especially an expensive one, it will cost you a lot and a lot of time to take.
Yes.
To bring it here, right?
Correct.
But if you have a 3D printed, perhaps sometime in the future, maybe those
we're talking about a library, potentially, of car parts.
Of car parts, which you can go to a single store and say, or maybe a Mazda flagship store and say, hey, I need this part ordered. Can you print me out, print it out for me and give it to me within a week?
Right.
That's, to me, amazing value.
Imagine if you go to the library and you want, you know, can you 3D print me a Rolls-Royce Silver Ghost, please?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well,
you know, it's coming to New Year.
Ah.
So a New Year's wish could be for him. A girlfriend.
Oh, come on.
There again. There it is.
Bringing it back.
Right.
You know, with all this 3D printing, a company called LSEV or something like that, based in the US, they managed to print out a car and put it all together in just 3 days. And
I read about that somewhere, yes.
It's about the same size as a Toyota IQ, which is quite interesting, you know. That means...
But is it working?
I have not read that far.
Right. So make sure it's working before you try to get, you know, a girlfriend. Yeah.
We'll get back to you about that one. We'll come back on that.
No, but this is all just, you know, the future, and it's good. It's going the right direction. Yeah. I understand what you're saying about old car parts. They'll be fantastic. You can get all your rubber bits, your plastic bits. Everything can be manufactured for your own car. Yes.
Because it's like on my old car as well, I had a few parts that were missing, and I looked online, bmwclassic.com, and just tried to look for it, and it cost probably about 200 euros. Right. And to ship it here is another 150 euros. So it's like,
don't forget tax.
And tax as well. Mm-hmm. If I could just print it and put it on my car, that'll be perfect.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
If they're saying, you know, they are 40% lighter, they're made out of tide, wouldn't that in the long run translate to cheaper production costs as well?
Yeah.
For probably. New stuff?
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, the new car company that Malaysia seems to want to do could look into that in the future. I think that's quite an interesting thing to do.
All right, it's time for us to wrap up, because you know what? We've got no car launches this week.
Yep.
Nope.
When will they be coming back?
I think late January, just before Geneva Motor Show.
All right.
And for Malaysia, maybe around that time also, but globally, definitely late January.
Okay. We're going to take a very short break, and when we get back, of course, we'll have our car review, something fancy for you folks this week. It is the Mercedes S560 Cabriolet. You are listening to Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm joined in the studio by the ever-loving twosome of...
Ho, ho, ho.
That is Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my, and...
It's Arif Ruse.
Arif Ruse, the man with the news. So last week, of course, we spoke about Arif's love. Not that love, his car. Which he managed to find second-hand.
At a good price.
At a good price. Today, though, we're talking about something a little bit fancier. Nothing wrong with your car, dude. It's beautiful-looking thing.
Fancy.
However, it does not come in at 1.3 million, unlike this little beauty that we'll be talking about right now.
You know, 1.3 million, you mentioned the price, and then already a lot of people are tuning out.
it's an aspirational. Yes, it's an aspirational.
I can feel
review.
The knobs moving.
Right.
Well, 1.3 million, yes, it is an expensive car, but this is a Mercedes S560. Basically, if you look at a normal S-Class sedan, it's an S-Class sedan, two-door coupe, of course, and with a roof that opens. Mm-hmm. So cabriolet, cabrio, convertible, whatever you want to call it, drop top. This is an open top luxury cruiser, or some will say tourer. Now, we picked up the car just before Christmas. Very timely. Mm-hmm. You know, in my neighborhood, a man like me at my age, driving a car like this top down, straight away people start ringing up the police because he must have stolen it. But luckily, my neighbors, most of them were away.
So they thought you were having a midlife crisis?
No, they thought I was working for a rich man and he allowed me to bring it home while he was away on his skiing trip. Now, I've driven a lot of expensive cars. I've brought home a lot of expensive cars. But this car is not about the price. It's about the way it looks. Now, you've seen the pictures. Mm. It's a nice looking car. It's a handsome looking car. But when you put the top down... You know, when I drove it the first few days, because it was drizzling and everything else, I didn't put the top down.
Right.
I was getting in and out of the neighborhood. And, you know, people are looking. And they'll just, oh, Mercedes. Oh, black. Oh, Indian man. You know, okay, leave it at that. But the third day when I had the top down, that was Christmas Day, coming out in the morning, suddenly the same people perked up. Mm-hmm. Their eyes opened. You know, their nostrils flared. They said, what's this? Because it's got a red color interior. And you know, when you buy a car like this, you must get a contrasting interior. A lot of people will buy a car black with black, you know, or silver with black. Okay, yeah, silver and black contrasting, but it's not outlandish, you know.
Yeah.
You must get a red interior with a flashy exterior. And this car spells it all out. You know, the only thing missing, I would say, if I were to own this car, is a couple of gold necklaces, you know, a couple of tattoos, a sleeveless T-shirt, couple of earrings, and this car and me, Rappermobile. Absolutely.
Wait, I'm just trying to get that image formed in my head. It's just not coalescing.
I just can't get it out now.
Absolutely stunning. And then I told my wife, I said, I think you should drive this car and I'm going to photograph you driving this car. That's the pictures you see on DSL.my. Uh-huh.
Right.
So we went out very early in the morning. You know, that's not in the evening. That's early morning. So it looks a bit gray. Not much traffic. And I was taking photographs. And you know, the funny thing is, every motorcycle that went past her, she panicked a little bit. Because why? In Malaysia, you always worry about the motorcyclist reaching in and grabbing your purse or something like that, you know. The other worry is you're worried about, you know, some guy in a truck flicking his cigarette
yes,
inside.
Yes.
You know, you don't think about it until you drive a car like this. You know, even if you drive a car with a sunroof, you don't think about this. But a full open-top convertible, and it's a four-seater, it's a big car. There's a lot of open space for you to throw something in. But nobody did anything like that. Everybody just went past honoring the vehicle, you know, like, wow. Some of them saluted, some of them waved, some of them stopped and honked a little bit, because you don't see people driving with their convertibles down.
Mm.
And then as we drove more and more, we went into the city, we went into some shopping, you see a lot of convertibles actually on the road. You don't realize them because they always top up. None of them put their top down. Then you realize there's a fear. And it's a bit sad because you pay so much money for that wonderful mechanism, and it works so well. Like for this car, while in motion, 37, 38, 40 kilometers an hour, you can actually put the top up or put it down. So there was one evening, I was with the kids. We went over to the in-laws' house. We're coming back. They said, put the top up. I said, no, we're already in motion. Then my son said, yeah, but he said you can put it up. I said, okay, let me slow down and try it. We slowed down and it opened and you can see people honking and laughing. You know, they're happy to see it. Nobody's thinking of doing something bad. And we drove almost 30 kilometers, top down, cool evening air, wonderful experience, really wonderful. It brought me back to the time when I had a horse carriage, you know, riding in the country, you know. It really brought me back to that time. So then, you know, as we reached home, we put the top up. And just before we put the top up, a wonderful song came on the air. It was on BFM. Wonderful song came on the air. And it was a rock song. And I had to put the volume up. And you know, cars like this, they come with fantastic acoustics and sound systems. I put the volume up and I woke up the neighborhood. I felt like a gangster driving home, top down, blaring this rock song from Def Leppard. And I said to myself, this is the life.
Mm.
But unfortunately, the life had to come to an end because I had to return the car.
At least you got to live your dream for a few days.
I got to live the dream for a weekend, for a long weekend. I got to say, I tell you, this car is going to be very hard to let go if you take it home.
Mm.
Very hard to let go. But if you go to the showroom and see it, you will not be drawn to it because, say, oh, Cabrio, difficult to drive in Malaysia. But it is not. It is not. Unless totally intimidated by what's around you, you know. And I think if you drive in a city, you shouldn't be. I mean, of course, don't put your handbag, you know, on the seat next to you. Mm. You know, keep it in the boot, you know, things like that.
So how did it drive?
Okay, now, good question. It's a V8 twin turbo. Need I say more? Okay.
Yes.
It's 3982 cc. It's a 4-liter car. Even though it's called a 560S, but you know, it's a 4-liter car. 9-speed gearbox, 469 brake horsepower. Doesn't sound like a lot. There's a lot of supercars out there with that kind of power. But it's got 700 Newton meters of torque. So if you're cruising, for example, at 110, 120, within the speed limit, and you realize that there's no police for the next 2 kilometers, you whack the throttle, and this car will just lurch forward. Before you can even blink a second time, you're 160, 180, 200. You're just rushing along, you know, you're hurtling along. And you have to brake because you know you're breaking the law. And it's so powerful. That's the kind of exhilarating power you can get from this car. And driving it top down, it's not noisy.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. I noticed that in the seats,
right,
at the rear of the seats, there appear to be two fans.
Yes.
Facing towards the passengers.
Yes. That's to actually, you know, reduce sound, keep your neck cool, keep everything running smoothly. And then also the way the glass comes up on the sides. You see, if you're driving with the glass down, all four glasses down, even though it's a two-seater, the rear glass can come down, you will get a lot of buffeting, a lot of sound. But if you have the glass up, it's actually very quiet. Surprisingly, I mean, past 180, 190, you do get a lot of wind noise. But below that, nothing, nothing. And we actually took a video of, you know, driving top up or top down. The video that captured the sound, there was very little difference. Very little. The video is up on DSF. You can have a look. But the most important thing is you buy this car, because you want to be seen. Yes, it'll do 0 to 100 in 4.6 seconds. That's very fast. That's almost, you know, some supercars do 3.8, 4.2. Between 3.8 and 4.6, you really can't tell the difference. You really can't tell the difference. Unless the guy driving the other supercar is like, you know, 200 kilos, then he's already weighed down the car, you know? You know? So it's no big issue. But this car is sensational if you have the money to throw.
Mm, 1.3 million.
Yes.
Don't quite have that just yet.
Not yet. Not
working
yet.
On it. Right. Let's do a 7-point inspection.
Maybe even a 12-point.
And we'll go, Arif, I'll give you 5, 6, and 7.
Okay.
All right. So this is the I'm a one percenter edition.
All right.
Number one then, the important specs, the engine, the power, the segment. We've already got most of that, but give us them again.
This car doesn't need a V8 twin turbo because you don't want to be going so fast in this car. You don't need to go so fast in this car. You want to be touring. You want to be relaxed. You know, the funny thing is, every time I got into the car after the second day, the first 2 days I was sitting upright, sitting properly. You know, we got our the approved driving
you
position.
You pushed the seat back, didn't you?
I just automatically pushed the seat back.
I'm already hearing Snoop Dogg in the background.
You know, I unbuckled my belt. Yeah, yeah. I got my belly out, lowered my steering wheel. I got my hand up on the ledge and I was like, yeah, what's up? You know, I was cruising and it looked like, you know, I was lounging in it. And my wife asked me at one point, she said, what's wrong with you? You got a bad back. I said, yeah, I've got a bad back.
Number two then, who would its competitors be?
Okay, the Bentley Continental, definitely. Ah. The Aston Martin Vantage. You know, these are the cars. I will not go up to Rolls-Royce because it's, you know, two times more.
But it's like super premium already.
Yes, but both the cars I mentioned are almost 400,000 or 500,000 more expensive. Yes, you have the Porsche convertible and you have the Ferrari convertibles. But those are pure supercars.
See, that was going to be the next question. Why wouldn't you just go and buy a Porsche or a Ferrari?
Yeah, but you see, when you get a Porsche or a Ferrari, when you arrive just like everyone else because there's so many around. This car, how many do you see?
That's true. I mean, this Cabriolet S-Class really looks grand.
Yes. Mm.
It looks like a yacht.
Yes, but for me, if I had the money, which I should be getting in a few months' time when I claim my APF, I would go for a white exterior and a red interior because that will really shout, hey, money, money, money. Because the black at night, you don't really see it.
Mm.
So you need a white exterior with the red interior.
I think to feel a bit more gangster, you got to go white interior, man.
You see, I can't do the white interior because with a black man in a white interior, now that shouts a little bit too much.
Moving swiftly along. And number four, what about it didn't you like? There must have been something, surely.
Okay, it's too big. It's too large. So we went to a lot of shopping malls and I had problems going to places like Paradigm because of the turning radius.
Yeah.
Of course, you can make it. The car is not that big. But because of its length and its width and the big wheels and everything and the turning radius, you start thinking, can I make it? Can I make it? Then Jaya 33, we had problems. Pavilion, we had problems. You know, all the new shopping malls, they don't design the car parks for cars like this. The older ones, yes. Mid Valley, forget about it. We didn't even bother trying. You know, even early in the morning, it's just too narrow.
Yeah.
Too narrow, even from going level to level. So this is the problem. But, you know, a lot of people say, oh, if you buy a car like this, you jockey it. The problem is you give this to a jockey, the effless dirty jeans will go inside, touch a nice leather oil, you know, cannot laugh.
You know he's going to take it for a little ride
yes,
as well.
Yes, yes.
Well, if I brought one to a hotel lobby, will they park it in a garage?
They will not even park it up front. They'll park it in the lobby.
Uh-huh.
They'll open the doors. They'll park it in the lobby right next to concierge and say, your motor might.
Ah. Okay, so what I'm hearing is that the car is very luxurious, but is it sporty enough? Because, you know, it's going ahead against the Bentleys and the Astons.
No, it's a tourer, so it's straight line speed. If you go around corners and everything, it screeches, it wallows a little bit. It's not designed for that. That's why I said it's got too much power. I think this car ideally should just be a 3-liter twin turbo, you know, like the normal AMG cars. Just give it enough power to just accelerate a little bit, cruise, because you're not going to go to 250 kilometers in this car. You want to cruise. You want people to see you in the car. If you're going too fast, they cannot see you.
Mm-hmm. I have one final question.
Right.
Should I wait to try out the BMW 8 Series?
The BMW 8 Series will be sportier.
Yeah.
Because BMW always wants to keep to that mantra, being sportier. You know, the guy who buys this car will not get into the BMW because he's definitely a Merc man. He definitely wants to, you know, relax
just cruise.
And you know, lie down, almost lie down in the car and just, you know, move the steering with his palm, you know? He doesn't want to be upright and, you know, ready to conquer the tarmac. The BMW Cabrio, different breed of man, you know? This is more like the Bentley owner.
Yeah.
So the guy who wants to buy the Bentley Cabrio suddenly lost a bit of money in the stock market, said, okay, I'll buy a Mercedes Tourer.
Beautiful looking thing, though.
Yes, yes, yes.
Ladies and gents, that's all the time we have for this week. If you missed any part of the show, don't forget you can download the podcast. It is available via our app, which is available in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. We're also on Spotify. If you're just joining us, it's a bit too late, but you missed news about the toll hike freezers, floating fuel prices. Gone is in more trouble. 3D printing parts, of course, that was the review of the Mercedes S560 Cabriolet. I'd like to wish you all a happy new year. We'll see you all in 2019. This has been Cruise Control. My name is Rich Bradbury with
Daniel Fernandez
and Arif Roos on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.